I'm learning to stay seated on these piano offertories. I never know quite when to jump up. They all end just a little bit differently. And thank you, Sherry, for that offertory. And let's notice today in Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 through 41. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are preaching through a series on Sunday mornings for these next few weeks entitled, Oh, What a Savior! And today we're going to look at a passage and deal with the subject, a Savior that stills the storms. A Savior that stills the storms. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the joy and privilege of meeting here this morning, for the wonderful Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of starting this new service at 8:30. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we get the word out about this service. And, Lord, that we would be able to spread the word that we're making room for those who need the Lord Jesus Christ and for Christians who need to grow in grace. And, Father, we ask that you would bless now this most important time of our service as in just a moment we turn to the word of God. May those who today are with us and have never been saved come to the Savior this morning. And others, Lord, we pray that they'll make good decisions for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For the Sea of Galilee. Actually, the Sea of Galilee is an inland lake about 6 miles wide by 12 miles long. The sea is several hundred feet below the level of the Mediterranean. And at the Sea of Galilee, you'll always find very warm temperatures. But when those cold thunderheads roll off of Mount Hermon and other surrounding mountains and clash with that warm, watery area called the Sea of Galilee, oftentimes there would be tumultuous storms that would immediately set upon that water. No one who was on the water when those storms came was exempt from the fury of the storm. And the storm in our text today came upon these men very quickly. In fact, the Bible tells us this storm was powerful enough to cause several commercial fishermen to fear for their very lives. You know, when we look at the storms in the weather pattern and when we look at the storm here in the Word of God, we're reminded of the fact that the storms of our lives oftentimes come upon us quickly, and they come upon us unexpectedly. And I have found, and I'm sure you have found, that Christians are not exempt from the storms of this life. Christians are going to experience trials and tragedy and sudden devastation as well. For hundreds of thousands of young men, the storm of Vietnam came upon them very quickly. One day they were 17, 18-year-old young men, perhaps enjoying their hometown, perhaps fixing up an old car, perhaps dreaming of the future. And a few short days later, they were in Southeast Asia, in a jungle, trying to find the way to go. It's true that for many, the storm of Vietnam came quickly. And although the last Americans were airlifted out of Saigon 30 years ago this week, the storm continues for many of those men in their hearts, even to this very day. In fact, Time magazine recently said, If there is a peace that passeth all understanding, Vietnam may be the war that passeth all understanding. And for hundreds of families this week, the bombing in Oklahoma City was like an unexpected storm which will linger in their minds for years to come. The storms of life, they are inevitable. It is not far-fetched to say that each of us today either has storm clouds over us, the storm clouds have just passed by us, or the storm clouds are just getting ready to roll in on us. You see, the storms of life are inevitable according even to the Word of God. And when the thunder cracks and when the clouds come in and when you hear those words, lay off, and when you hear that word, divorce, and when you are told about the health problems that you were not expecting, you realize that the storm has arrived. But this morning we want to see from the Word of God that Jesus Christ is a Savior who stills the storm. No matter what the storm of life may be, Jesus Christ has the power to step into the scene and say, "Peace be still." Notice this morning the problem of the disciples. Obviously, the text tells us that these disciples were being threatened by a storm. In fact, verse 37 tells us that there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You talk about a storm. Their boat was taking water. Their boat was full of water, and they were experiencing a great tragedy in their lives. But you know, folks, this morning, the problem really was not the storm or the water that had come in. In fact, if you look at the spiritual side of this passage, you'll see with me a few other problems this morning. The first problem that I see is that the disciples had forgotten the words of Jesus Christ when they first got onto the boat. The Bible says in verse number 35, "And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus had indicated to them that they would pass over to the other side. The problem was not with the fact that Jesus didn't know what was going on. The problem was with the fact that the disciples had lost sight of who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ had already said to them. The Bible says in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me," Jesus says, "ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Jesus never promises a journey with no waves, folks. But He promises that He will give a safe passage to the other side. And I'm glad today that though the waves come and though the storms beat, I have no doubt in my heart today that one day I'll spend all of eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. The problem of the disciples was that they had forgotten the words of Jesus when He said, "We're going to pass over to the other side today." Notice, not only had they forgotten the words of Jesus, but notice in your Bibles that they had also reached their own extremity. You see, in verse number 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." And they go to Jesus and they wake Jesus up. And they begin to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in jeopardy. Water was on board. They had reached their own extremity. There was nothing else that they could do to save themselves. And they came to that place where the last thing to do was to go and cry unto Jesus Christ. You know, that's how we are sometimes. We have to get to the very last penny and to the very last relationship and to the very last source of our resources in order to finally come to the place where we go to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had reached their own extremity. I don't know if you've ever been in a storm like that. I've been in a few. I like to hear my granddad tell me about his fishing stories. And boy, he's got some great ones too. And every time I hear them, the fish get just a little longer. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, my granddad was telling me about going down to Mexico many years ago, and they got into a little boat, I think about 24 feet long, and they got into that boat and began to go out into that gulf, and they were out there fishing for those yellowtail and grouper and all these different kinds of fish. And he said to me, he said, "A storm came in." He said, "The rain was pelting us. The wind was throwing us." He said, "That boat was just like a cork." He said, "I really wondered if we were going to ever live, if we were ever going to make it out." And he said, I would go down below and try to hide. And I'd come back up. And he said, the water was coming in. We were trying to bail it out. He said, finally, I went to that little man there that was driving the boat, that man that we had chartered the boat from. He said, I thought I'd ask him what his opinion was. He said, I went to that Mexican guide that was driving the boat. He said, have you ever been in a storm like this out here? And that man with his hand clutched to the wheel looked up at my granddad and he said, see, but in a much bigger boat. But I want you to know it doesn't matter what size the boat is, if Jesus is on board, you're all right. And we see that they were worried because they had reached their own extremity. And some of you are here this morning and you have finally reached the point where your home life is beyond your ability to repair it. Your personal problems are beyond your ability to repair them. Your finances are beyond your ability to repair them. You have reached your own extremity. But thank God this morning that man's extremity is God's opportunity. Thank God this morning that you and I, when we come to those points in our lives when there's nowhere else to go, that God steps in and God has the answer for our lives. And their problem was not the storm around them. Their problem was the unbelief within them. And I'm telling you today, dear Christian, that so many times the problem is not the storm all around us. The problem is the unbelief within our hearts and the fact that as the storm is raging, so oftentimes we fail to focus in on the navigator, the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem of the disciples, they had forgotten the promise of Jesus. They had reached their own extremity. But notice with me this morning, the power of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in this text, just a little bit about our Lord's power, gives to us a glimpse about the unique nature of Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, first of all this morning, that Jesus Christ is 100% man in this passage. 100% man. The Bible tells us very clearly that He was sleeping, in verse number 38, on a pillow. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse number 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And I am thankful today that Jesus Christ was 100% man. He slept on a pillow. I'm thankful today that He is a God who knew what it was to experience sorrow and hunger and even weariness, so that when I pray, dear Lord Jesus, and I bring my burdens to Him, He knows about every burden that I could ever bring to Him. And He was 100% man, and we see Him here in His humanity. Like any other preacher who had preached all day, He was so weary that when He got into that ship and found a pillow, He fell fast asleep, so fast asleep that when the storms rocked and when the storms rolled and when the waters crashed and when the salt water stung upon His skin perhaps, nevertheless, He just kept right on sleeping. We see the humanity. He was 100% man. And I'm thankful that God took the form of flesh and became a man so that He could be the great high priest and mediator for me as I pray to Him. But of course, we see that He is more than just 100% man. We see here this morning, He is 100% God as well. Notice, if you would, in verse number 39, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here we see that He was 100% God. Here we see one of the many attributes of His deity. Here is a God who stands now and stands and says, peace, be still. And He commands the winds and He commands the waters. And the Bible says, instantly there was a calm that came over that sea. I thank God today for Isaiah 9:6. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you know who that was in that little ship that day? It was the Mighty God.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ is called the Mighty God. Now, many of the cults do not like that title today, but I thank God that He was not just 100% man, but that He was also 100% God. In fact, Jesus on one occasion said, "I and the Father are one." And Jesus Christ and the Father are one in relationship to the deity. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God," speaking of Jesus, "the firstborn of every creature," hear this, "for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. By Him all things consist." You see, Jesus Christ is the creator of those seas. Jesus Christ is the creator of this world. And so the creator alone can stand and say, "Peace be still." Here we see the power of Jesus Christ. Here we see the deity of Jesus Christ. He calmed the sea by His spoken word because, dear friends, this morning He was God in the flesh. There is not a storm in your life that is too big for Jesus Christ to take care of. There is not a problem today or a wave crashing in upon your life that is too great for Jesus Christ to care for this morning. The Bible says in Psalm 89 in verse number 8, "O Lord God, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves arise, Thou stillest them." That's the kind of God we serve today. When the waves arise, God stills them. And so this morning, we see in the Word of God the problem of the disciples. Their problem is very clearly seen this morning in the fact that they had reached their own extremity. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes I feel that way in my life. I feel like I've come as far as I can come by myself. And it's at that time when Jesus takes our hand and says, "I can take you the rest of the way." And we see the power of Jesus Christ as well this morning. We see that power evidenced by the fact that He would step out and that He would command nature and that He would calm the sea and calm the wind. But I want to share with you also this morning the purpose of the storm. The purpose of the storm. Notice, please, if you would, in verse number 40. "And He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" I see here this morning that Jesus Christ had a purpose in bringing this trial or allowing this trial to come to pass. First of all, He says in verse 40, "Why are ye so fearful?" He uses this trial as a time to instruct His children. He uses this time to instruct the disciples and to help them to understand what is taking place. They did not fully understand who was with them. They did not fully understand who Jesus Christ was. Had they realized that He was the Creator God, had they realized that He had power to still the waves, perhaps they would have had less fear in their hearts. But we see that they did not understand who He was. They did not understand that the Creator was there in that little boat with them. And so Jesus Christ allowed the trial to be a time when He would teach them and instruct them and show them who He really was. And dear friends, when we have trials in our lives, and when the storms rage, and when we find ourselves being tossed to and fro, it is oftentimes at a time like that when we really understand how great God is, when we really learn how to pray, when we really realize what His love is all about. And so He uses this time, and the purpose of this time is to instruct His disciples. And the times of trials and testing are to be times of instruction in our lives. But not only does He use it to instruct them, notice secondly, He uses this time to test their faith. Verse 40, He says unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" How is it that ye have no faith? Do you know it is true that when the times of trial come, you're able to find out really where someone's faith level really is. You see, you really don't know where a Christian is in their faith relationship with God when everything's going just right. But it's the trials that reveal true character. It's the difficult hours that let us know where we really are in our relationship with God. And at this difficult hour when these men were screaming and crying in frantic dismay, Jesus says, "Why is it that ye have no faith?" You see, faith must be tested before it can be trusted. And so here we see that Jesus Christ is using this trial to instruct these disciples, but He's also using this trial to test their faith and to see where they are and to help them see where they are. You know, we are creatures that are prone to fall back on our own pride. And like a young boy learning how to ride a bike and letting go of the steering wheel or the handlebars and thinking that we can go and then crashing, many Christians think, "Why? I've been saved now this long. I've been in the church this long and I can make it all on my own." And then we find out, boy, we're not as strong as we thought we really were. And so faith must be tested before it can be trusted. And I have learned that Satan doesn't care about how much truth we know as long as we don't live it. And these were men who knew some truths, but they weren't really applying the truth as Jesus Christ was with them. They were not having the confidence that Jesus would have them to experience. And today, as we look into the Word of God, the question today is not, will a storm come into our life? The question today is, how will I handle the storm when it comes into my life? How will I handle the storm when it comes into my life? Different people answer that question in different ways. Different people handle the storms in different ways. Some people handle the storm by saying, "All right, I know what I'll do. I'll just move." And it seems that so many people, when times get tough, they feel like a change of scenery will change all of the problems. But listen, a change of scenery doesn't always change your heart. And the problems that we have in one place oftentimes are waiting in the next place. Reminds me of the story of a salesman that called a home recently, and he called the house, and a little girl answered the phone, and the salesman said, "Can I speak to your daddy?" And she said, "Well, daddy can't come to the phone right now. He's a pastor, and he just got offered a position with another church with more money for our family. So he's in the other room praying about it right now, and he can't come to the phone right now." And the salesman said, "Well, what about your mommy?" And the little girl said, "She's packing." You know, a lot of times it takes just a little bit of trial to get us packing, doesn't it? And that's how some people handle their storms. But you know, folks, truth of the matter is storms hit just about every part of this planet. And it really doesn't matter where you move, the storms are going to be there too. It's not always the change of scenery that we need. It's often the change of heart that we really need. For others, they'll choose perhaps some form of drugs or alcohol or perhaps some form of prescription drugs. The Wall Street Journal recently reported that the number one selling drug in America is the drug Zantac, which is a drug for ulcers. And the number two best-selling drug is Prozac, which is a drug for depression. We're finding that many thousands, in fact, millions of Americans are taking these drugs, and they're finding that their stress-related lives are leading to great depression, and that depression is leading them to this prescription type of a drug. And people that find themselves in storms and difficulties in their lives are going to all different measures, trying to get the answer, trying to find some hope, trying to find some peace. But we're here this morning to say that only Jesus can satisfy your soul. There's no other one who can solve the problems in the raging sea other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power to calm the raging storm today. And oftentimes God uses my storm as His pathway to come to me. Oftentimes God will use your storm as the pathway to walk into your life. Some people come to Jesus Christ because there's problems in their lives, and they come and they're saved. And sometimes God's people who've already been saved, but they've wandered far away from God. It takes a storm to get them back into fellowship with God. So sometimes today in our lives, we need to stop and we need to say, Lord, why is this storm here? What is the purpose of this storm in my life? Oftentimes we look around our lives and we see danger. Then we look into our hearts and we see fear. But what we need to do, folks, is look up and see the Lord and see that He's right there and that He's with us today. One Vietnam veteran said last week, the last battle ended 20 years ago, but if the end of a war is peace, we're still waiting for it. If the end of a war is peace, we're still waiting for it. But I've got news for that Vietnam veteran, and I've got news for you today. Jesus Christ offers a peace that passeth all understanding. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose the greatest storm that a man or woman could ever have in their hearts is that storm of sin, that storm of doubt, not knowing whether or not we would go to heaven, not knowing that we would spend eternal life with Jesus Christ someday. But thank God the Bible says when we're justified by faith, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, comes into our heart. And I believe this morning, even at this 8:30 service, there would be those that need to search their heart and simply ask the question, is the reason I have no peace in my heart because I have no Jesus Christ in my life? Perhaps that's the reason today. And there needs to be a time when you would call upon the Lord and ask Him to come into your life and save you and let the peace, the knowledge of sins forgiven, flood your soul and let your heart know that yes, there is peace in Jesus Christ. And so it is that you and I today, as we come to the Word of God, we have problems like the disciples. We have storms that rage, but thank God we have the same powerful Jesus today. And thank God Jesus Christ can come and save us from our sin and save us from the storms of this life. And beyond that, He can show us a purpose for the storms of this life and help us to understand and help us to see that He loves us and He has a plan for each one of us. Shall we pray? Father, we come before You this morning to thank You today that You have given to us the wonderful joy of knowing that You have a purpose in trials. Lord, so many people do not have the knowledge or understanding of trials and tribulations, but we thank You today that You love us and that You show us a purpose for these. And Lord, as we come to You this morning, we ask that You would bless this time of invitation. We ask that You would meet needs here today. We ask that souls would be saved and lives would be touched. Our heads are bowed this morning and our eyes are closed. This morning, as we've looked into the Word of God, we have seen the fact that Jesus Christ can still the storm. And oh, what a joy it is to know, especially concerning that storm of sin in our hearts, that Jesus Christ can calm that storm and that He can forgive us of our sins and offer us a home in heaven someday. I wonder today how many in this service right now at 8:30 could say, just in a moment, could say, Pastor Chapel, there's been a time in my life when I realized I was a sinner and the storm of sin became real to me and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I know that from that day forward I've been saved and on my way to heaven. And though I've had some trials, I know that the storm of sin is taken care of because I'm saved and on my way to heaven today. Could you lift your hand this morning? Is there someone like that? You know that you're saved today, and you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. God bless you. May put your hands down. I wonder this morning, for those that are here, and perhaps you've visited before, perhaps this is your first time, I wonder today if you would just simply say in your heart, and perhaps in a moment by the uplifted hand, Pastor Chapel, as I think about my life and the lack of peace, I believe that I really do need the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to church, I've believed in God, but I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. If the Bible says I can be justified by faith and have my sins forgiven and have peace with God, I would like to know how that could happen. I'd like to know how that I could have that kind of peace with God. And I wonder if you're here this morning and you did not raise your hand a moment ago, but you'd raise it right now and just simply say, Pastor, here's my hand. I am not sure that I'm saved. I'd like to know how that I could have peace with God. Could you just lift your hand right now? Let me pray for you. Let me have a word of prayer with you this morning. Is there someone like that? Pastor Chapel, I need to know how that I could have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then I wonder this morning, God bless you, ma'am, I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? Anyone else this morning that would join this lady? I'm not sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I'd like to know how. And then I wonder this morning if you're here as a child of God and you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. But you'd say, Pastor, this morning I learned some things about the storms. And I learned that God has a purpose in the storm. And that in the time of trial, He wants to instruct me and He wants to test my faith. And I see that I've got some growing to do and God is showing me that today. And Pastor, I've learn something that I'm going to apply this morning in my life. Here's my hand. Pray that I'll use what you've said today. Would you lift your hand today as a Christian? And God has perhaps helped you with this message this morning. All right, that's a blessing. And I know He helped me as I studied and I prayed be a help to you as well. You may put your hands down. Perhaps you're here this morning and you just would like in a moment to come and pray with someone about your trial or your storm. Perhaps you've been saved. You'd like to be baptized. Perhaps you'd like to come and accept Christ today. Whatever it is, we'll invite you to do so in just a moment. Father, we thank You for this time around Your Word today. Father, we thank You that You love us and that You've given us the privilege of being saved. And if there's one here today that is not sure of their relationship with Christ, we would ask that they would make sure of it today. And then help each of us to apply the truth of Your Word concerning the storms today. Help us not to live our lives as though You're not on board. Help us to be thankful that the Creator God is our Savior this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's